I'm going to start the message off today with a story. Growing up, I was extremely blessed to be able to attend Ambassador University. Bit of an odd thing, though, because whenever my parents mentioned it, after listening to the World Tomorrow broadcast every week, I found every excuse not to be in the vicinity when I knew my parents would bring it up. Because that was how the World Tomorrow broadcast ended every week, by encouraging young men and women in the church to apply. And at the time, I wanted nothing to do with it. I had known a couple of people from the local area that had gone, spent their 4 years, and they came home completely different people. And I did not want that to happen to me. I was having too much fun with my friends. And as time went by, the more time I spent with my friends, I was finding that I didn't want to do the things that they were doing. I didn't want to speak or say the things that they were saying. It was making me quite uncomfortable, and I couldn't figure out why. Fast forward a bit, my attempts to avoid that conversation with my parents couldn't be avoided. My parents cornered me one Sunday morning after the broadcast had ended. They were watching the program in the living room. I was in the kitchen eating breakfast, reading the Sunday Funnies. So I didn't notice the program had ended. They had me. After the lecture, I reluctantly agreed to apply. And I did. But I was determined to do everything in my power to make sure I was not accepted. Even though the local minister had approved my application already, I sent that in a week and a half late. To go a step further to guarantee my rejection, I sent my physical fitness results 2 weeks after that. Sure enough, I was turned down. Whew. Right? Dodged a bullet. Well, the fact and information that I started with tells you that wasn't quite the case. My rejection letter ended by stating, and I quote, "We are sure Joel would make a stronger applicant in the future." My fate was sealed. My parents read that and went through the roof. They were so excited. So I applied the next year. I didn't really have to send in too much more information. They already had it from the prior year, and I was accepted. In my time there, all the students had required theology classes that they had to take. They weren't optional. Much of the information we were learning, well, I was learning, was pretty new to me. But the same was true for a lot of my classmates. As semester after semester went by, we were all exposed to truths that none of us could deny. And we each had to make a choice. Now, I don't stand up here pretending to speak for anyone else, but we all heard and learned the same lessons. At the time, no one could present any argument against anything that we were learning was not the truth. Scripture seemed to be rock solid and very clear. Fast forward to today. Many, if not most of those I attended school with, no longer keep any of God's holy days, including this Sabbath day. Many I'm still friends with on social media are now fully involved with keeping the pagan worldly festivals that in society, that most of society observes today. But looking back, it was the Sabbath, I think, that broke the camel's back, so to speak. You see, we had visitors to campus that held forums and assemblies and tried to convince us that God wouldn't be upset or mad if we went golfing on the Sabbath, if we went fishing on the Sabbath. Well, after all, those are all relaxing activities out enjoying God's creation, right? Sadly, many fell into the trap of believing that and ended up believing the lie. Even though we had all been through the same classes showing and teaching that God's Sabbath is holy and set apart as special and holy time, many were convinced that God was okay with it. And once you compromise in one area, it doesn't take that long for the rest of the dominoes to start to fall. So today, I want to remind us all of how important and special this Sabbath day truly is. Part of my motivation for speaking on this is that I've recently recognized a pattern in myself where the Sabbath, if I'm not very, very careful, can just become routine. For example, I have a Sabbath routine. Followed it to a T this morning, in fact. I wake up early, as usual, head out to the living room where it's still dark to get in some extra prayer and study while everyone else is still sleeping. It's quite pleasant. It's quiet. It's peaceful. There's no distractions. I love it. Then, others in the house start to wake up. That's my signal. It's time for me to make breakfast or brunch. Once that is ready to eat, we usually put on the Inner Cord for the week while I eat. Once done, I do a cursory cleanup before retiring to the bedroom for a little Sabbath snooze before it's time to wake up and start and get ready for services. Shocking, I know, right? Snoozing? That snooze is usually sped along by my wife coming in and getting started on getting her ready herself. The shower turning on is usually my signal to get up and start the rest of my pre-Sabbath service routine, shaving, showering, and dressing before we leave for services. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a routine such as this, but if we aren't careful, the Sabbath can sometimes lose that special status that God wants it to have in our hearts and minds. So to begin, we're going to start with the basics. We're going to go back to Exodus chapter 20 and read. It's very short and to the point. Exodus 20, and we will be reading in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those words begin the fourth of God's Ten Commandments. But what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? What exactly is God telling us to do and not do on the Sabbath day? Well, before we answer these questions, we must go back to the origin of the Sabbath. Let's go back to Genesis and read about that. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. We see that after the creation week, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work. We read then, right after that, that God blessed that seventh day, and he sanctified it. Seventh day was blessed and sanctified. That means God set it apart from the other 6 days of the week for a special, special purpose. Because of this unique blessing and sanctification, the seventh day of the week is very, very special to God. And as such, it should be to us as well. He didn't just rest and bless it for his own use. He did this as an example and a gift for mankind. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, he included the seventh day, Sabbath, as the fourth commandment that we just read. God did not create the Sabbath to be a temporary or a burdensome law. I'm not going to turn back and read it, but back in Mark 2, verse 27, Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man. It is a precious gift God made for us. That's why Jesus, the apostles, and all of the New Testament churches continued to observe it. Once as Christians, we accept the seventh-day Sabbath is holy and a law of God, the question arises, how does a person keep the Sabbath day holy? Well, the Bible doesn't give a long list of do's and don'ts on how to keep the Sabbath properly, but it does provide us with many solid principles to help us understand how to keep it holy. So today I have five principles, much like Mr. Bryant had 5 points. I don't know what is five. I guess 7's too long for a split, so here we go. Principle number 1, we can keep the Sabbath day holy by not working. The 4th commandment specifically states, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You can read that in verse 10 of Exodus 20. Verse 11 connects the Sabbath to God resting. God stopped working and rested from his labors on the Sabbath. He didn't rest because he's tired. God is spirit. We know he cannot get physically tired or worn out. The reason he rested was to set an example for us. He wanted to show us that we need one day out of the week for rest and physical and spiritual rejuvenation. God didn't leave it up to us to choose which day we want to keep. He was very specific that he blessed and he hallowed this 7th day, the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is a day when we pause from our normal work and activities and rest for 24 hours. And we know from other scriptures, I'm not going to go into those right now, that the Bible keeps time. That's Friday night, 24 hours to Sabbath sunset. Those who may be new to Sabbath keeping or even moving to a new job may find it challenging to change their work schedule to accommodate the Sabbath. Sometimes employers resist giving people every Saturday off. So, what are some tips that we can use to approach an employer should this become an issue? These are a few sub-points. I'll go through them pretty quickly. Pray for God's help and blessing in making your request. Develop a good work ethic on other days of the week to become a more valuable employee. The more valuable you are to your employer, the more likely he or she is to accommodate your convictions. Express a willingness to take on extra hours to make up for any time off you may have to take. Sometimes the sun sets fairly early this in wintertime, and you may have to work till 5. Well, offer to make those hours up at other times. Approach your employer with a spirit of humility and respect when explaining your beliefs about the Sabbath. Abstaining from work every Sabbath has tremendous physical and spiritual blessings for God's people. Personally, I don't know what I'd do without the Sabbath. It's just, I can't imagine running around like half a society with, like a chicken with my head cut off. I'd be a complete mess. Well, maybe I already am, but that's besides the point. Point number 2. Keep the Sabbath holy by not employing others to requiring employees you might have to work on the Sabbath. The 4th commandment, if you read the rest of it, I skipped over this earlier, but has specific implications for those who employ others to work for them, such as business owners. I'm going to paraphrase, but it basically reads, "In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates." The 4th commandment is presented in an agricultural context, since ancient Israel was a farming society. Obviously, there were not too many 9-to-5 blue-collar jobs around at the time, but the farmer's whole household would labor on the family land. In that context, God said the entire operation was to rest on the Sabbath. Children, servants, livestock, strangers, everybody. The point was that the head of the family wasn't to force anyone to work on the Sabbath day. Now, most people today don't work on farms, but the principle still applies. The core principle is that Sabbath keepers are not only to abstain from work themselves, but also to refrain from having their employees work on the Sabbath. There are many Sabbath-keeping business owners around the world. There's some right here in this congregation who practice this every single week. Before sunset comes on Friday evening, they close their business and they don't reopen it until the Sabbath ends. Point number 3. Keep the Sabbath day holy by attending Sabbath services, just as we're doing here right now. Resting on the Sabbath doesn't mean we stay home in bed all day. In Leviticus 23, if you want to turn back there, it'll be a really short scripture. Leviticus 23 and verse 3, the Sabbath is referred to as one of God's holy convocations in order to bring his people together for fellowship and collective instruction and worship. God designed the seventh day as a day of assembly. A convocation, as defined, there's several different definitions in dictionaries online, but basically, it's a public meeting or gathering for the purpose of learning, worshiping, and fellowshipping. Throughout his life on earth, Jesus Christ assembled with others on the Sabbath. Let's turn back to Luke 4. Luke 4 and read this. Oops. It's after Mark. Luke 4, it's just one verse, Luke 4 and verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the seventh day and stood up to read, the Sabbath day, sorry, and stood up to read. This was Christ's custom, his weekly practice. God's people are specifically warned not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Another very familiar scripture back in Hebrews. We turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we'll start reading in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If we don't congregate, brethren, or gather together on the Sabbath day, it would be much, much more difficult to have the ability to serve others, to learn about their trials so we can pray for them. The same goes in reverse. Yes, through social media we can find out various things like that, but it's still much more comforting to be able to listen to someone in person tell you about what they are going through and be able to look them in the eyes and tell them you'll add them to your prayer list. It's much more effective. And it goes a long way, brethren. Through social media, just putting a like doesn't have the same impact as giving somebody a hug and telling them, we'll pray for you. We know what you're going through. It's hard. So we need to be here each and every Sabbath. Point number 4. Keep the Sabbath day holy with spiritually enriching activities. On the Sabbath day, we are to pause from our normal routines, our work, shopping, errands and chores, activities, sports, movie watching. The list goes on. We're supposed to pause all of that and spend the day doing things that are spiritually enriching. God created the Sabbath to be refreshing and enjoyable for us, for his people. Again, Christ proclaimed back in Mark 2 that the Sabbath was made for man. And Christ, in the next verse, is revealed as the Lord of the Sabbath. It shows us that the Sabbath was created for our benefit. Most modern Sabbath keepers, and I keep using the phrase Sabbath keepers because not necessarily all Christians keep the Sabbath. You can label yourself as a Christian, and as we know, most attend churches on Sunday. They don't keep the Sabbath. But most modern Sabbath keepers eagerly anticipate the Sabbath each and every week. Hopefully, we all view it as a gift, not a burden. God wants us to dedicate the Sabbath to doing the things that strengthen our relationship with him. God wants us to call the Sabbath a delight, which we read back in Isaiah, but we'll get to that a little later. Here are some things that we can do on the Sabbath to make it a delight. This is just a list I've thrown together. There might be other things that you and your family enjoy, but point number 1, as we've already discussed, attend Sabbath services. It's very enjoyable to come and fellowship with everybody and find out how their week went. Spend some extra time in prayer and meditation, which I like to do and as part of my routine. One thing I really enjoy meditating on is comparing today's society with what it's going to be like in the millennium. There are so many occupations that I'm just very confused what those people are going to be doing, because they're essentially going to not have jobs. How are we going to help them? What will society look like? That's something very interesting to me to meditate on. Another thing, spend more time than usual reading God's Word, the Bible. Obviously, spending quality time with family. Spend time fellowshipping with other Christians. Again, being here each and every week to do that. Here's one. When's the last time we had the opportunity to do this? Visit the sick or the elderly. I remember when our kids were young, there were some elderly shut-ins in the local church area that they couldn't make it to services, and this was before webcasting. So after services, we'd get in the car, and it wasn't too far out of our way, but on the way home, we would stop and visit these widows. It was absolutely amazing, the smiles on their faces when you got out of the car. They were, and sometimes Jody's grandmother, we would go visit her, and she was in a care home. You would walk down the hallway in your Sabbath clothes, the little kids, Jade in her dress, Joshua in his little suit, and all these people were just, oh, they wanted to, you know, touch and hold those little kids. The memories, the love that you learn through experiences like that are truly incredible. Enjoy some relaxing time in God's creation. Take a walk in a park, or if it's available to you, any raw or untouched wilderness that's close by. Pay special attention to the things you may not have noticed before. Marvel at God's creation and give Him the praise and glory for it. Listening to music that is peaceful and relaxing. Enjoy special meals. I usually make a special brunch on Sabbath mornings. It's not something I do every day of the week, and I truly enjoy that. Or a Friday night dinner. We have company over. These are just a few examples of appropriate things that we can do to have a spiritually fulfilling Sabbath. Obviously, that's not a comprehensive list. You can probably add to that, but the point is, the principle is, the Sabbath activities that we partake in should be spiritually uplifting. They should focus us towards God, and to glorifying Him and praising Him. There are some other principles we could go into. I'm not going to for the sake of time, but there's the principle of ox in the ditch. We can help people on the Sabbath. Helping somebody in need on the way to services. Somebody's on the side of the road with a tire, flat tire that needs changing. We can do things like that on the Sabbath. There are several examples of Christ Himself helping people on the Sabbath, healing specifically. Point number five. Keep the Sabbath day holy by preparing for it. Many Sabbath keepers use Friday, the sixth day of the week, to prepare for the Sabbath. It's often called the preparation day. This is based on the principle found in Exodus 16. Let's turn back there and read this. Exodus 16. The fact that we're in the book of Exodus should tell you what we're going to discuss. Exodus 16, and we'll start reading in verse 4. The principle is the one that God gave the Israelites, manna from heaven. Starting in verse 4, God instructs them. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." On Friday, God gave double the manna that He gave on the other days. You can jump down to verse 22 and we'll find out why. It's very clearly explained. Verse 22, "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'That is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days shall you gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Through this example, God taught them the importance of preparing to keep the Sabbath day. They did extra work on Friday so that they could rest and have time and not have to gather food on the Sabbath. God doesn't give us physical manna today, but we can apply the same principle in preparing for the Sabbath day ourselves. What are some ways that we can provide? What are some ways that we can prepare? Obviously, everybody knows there's lots of things that we can do. Clean the house so that it's clean and tidy for Sabbath. In our house, this usually starts on Thursdays, especially if everyone's working on Friday. We don't usually have a whole lot of time once everybody gets home from work. Do your normal chores and errands on another day so that they're done before the Sabbath. Shopping, mowing the lawn, things like that. I personally like to mow the lawn Thursday or Friday so it looks nice for the Sabbath day. Plan and prepare a special meal. That includes already having acquired whatever is necessary to prepare that meal. Go to the gas station and fill up the car so you don't have to worry about stopping for gas on the way to church. Have your clothes for Sabbath services washed and dry cleaned or pressed, ready to go for the Sabbath day. The gospel shows that the day before a Sabbath was called the preparation day. Some of us might need a few more days than that. I personally do in many cases, but I'm sure there's a lot of other things we can do to prepare for the Sabbath day so that we don't have to worry about it on the Sabbath day. Those are 5 simple principles on how we can keep the Sabbath holy and special in our hearts and minds as God commands us. We should look forward to the Sabbath each and every week, not simply go out about our business and before you know it, boom, it's the Sabbath and we've not done anything to prepare for it. Remember, God created the Sabbath for us. He blessed this day and sanctified it and set it apart as a gift for us. For our last scripture, let's turn back to Isaiah that I mentioned earlier. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, we will start reading in verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Brethren, we honor God when we set aside our normal weekly routine and keep the Sabbath holy. It's a day God made especially for us, brethren, for all of mankind eventually. He set it aside as holy. He sanctified it as special. Let's remember to keep the Sabbath day holy and special in our hearts and minds each and every week. Let's also remember this day is a shadow. It foreshadows something to come. That's also something else to meditate on.